Here we go. Larry Richard with Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald, every Wednesday at our 7 o'clock hour. And Rich, you know, I'm only half kidding when I say when the players report to St. Vincent College in Latrobe, it's pretty much a holiday in this part of the country.
It is one of those days of the year that people look forward to and becomes a signature day. And you're right, and we're going to hear from somebody from Westmoreland County and how it impacts that. But yes, I think the eyes of Steeler Nation certainly turn to Latrobe.
And there have been so many moves for the personnel over the offseason here. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, and then kind of the bookend of that process was the signing of TJ Watt. Everybody's in camp, ready to go, and they're heading up to Latrobe today. Do you remember the old days when they would show you like Terry Bradshaw carrying a fan and stuff like that? Times have changed. A lot of the guys, they do have AC and have had that a long time in the dormitories, but they rent giant TVs. They bring them in to do their gaming and that kind of stuff. But training camp isn't nearly as long as it used to be. Next hour, we're going to talk to Mel Blunt, who won 4 Super Bowls. They used to have 6 preseason games at one point. It's unimaginable now, but a big day and exciting, especially for the people and the businesses around Latrobe.
It really is, and you're right. I mean, going back and, you know, colleges used to be different back in the day too. You think about the kids and they have nicer dorms and all that kind of stuff, and the change certainly has happened at St. Vincent. But, you know, you got to love it that the Steelers continue, you know, for decades and decades and decades to have their camp at St. Vincent College. It's great for the university. It's great for St. Vincent to have this as well. They get some national publicity, and I'm sure there are people that have discovered that and went there because of that reason. And, you know, it's kind of the Steeler way. But you're right, there's a lot of new faces this year, probably more than I can ever remember, not just at the quarterback, but defensive back, offensive line, wide receiver, et cetera, in addition to obviously people coming back like Hayward and the TJ signing.
I was looking at the roster of those who report to camp. Obviously, it's double what it's going to be when it gets, you know, time to make the cuts and get 54-man roster. So there's about 100 guys there, it seems like, and a lot of names you know, don't know. It's an exciting time, and this is also an opportunity for fans who might not get a chance to go to a game to get up close and really personal.
Absolutely. And the fact that they open it up, it is free. You know, you have to register, you have to, you know, get a ticket or get a pass and all of that stuff. The other thing that usually happens, and I haven't seen that story yet this year, a local college player who signs on as a free agent, maybe from Pitt or Duquesne or one of the local schools of Marad here. I don't know if they have any of those this year that we tend to root for. Maybe they make special teams, or maybe they make the last guy on the squad. But I don't know if they have any this year.
Well, he's now a grizzled veteran, and that is Char Valley and Duquesne's Christian Kuntz, who's the long snapper.
Sure.
He's got a podcast. He's interviewing his fellow players. Exciting time of the year.
Speaking of podcasts, the national podcast, I understand, is coming here. Our own local Plum native, Mr. McAfee, I believe, is going to be coming, which I think is the podcast when it comes to sports in this country.
Yeah, he's kind of really made a name for himself. And guess where he made a name for himself first? Having exclusive conversations with Aaron Rodgers. So it's all full circle.
What goes around comes around. Yeah, exactly. Full circle. Yeah.
We just had a conversation with the president of the Downtown Neighborhood Alliance, John Valentine, who you know very well. Good news for the city to get a grocery store in the works, and that will come next year at some point. But I appreciate John's passion because it's a challenge, and he recognizes that, but he's undaunted.
He is, and yeah, I remember John many, many years ago coming into the office and pitching the retail recruitment plan. And we're glad to support it. And I'm glad the county executive, Sarah Annamorata, continues to support it along with the mayor. But John and people from the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership and the DNA and investors like Aaron Stauber from Rugby and so many, the Allegheny Conference. And there's a lot of people invested in making downtown, which is obviously this region's focal point in many ways, work. And we know the challenges that have happened post-COVID, and people like John this is a big win. When he texted me the other day, said, it's going to be a big announcement. Wait till you hear. He was so excited, and rightly so. And to do this work and to see it come to fruition, we're certainly hoping there's a lot of success with it.
And yesterday I talked to another one of those visionaries like you and John and Lucas Pyatt with his Esplanade. He's gotten a lot further. They're going to break ground very soon. This is 15 acres next to Rivers Casino, basically, to give some people that don't know where that area. He's basically going to create a whole new neighborhood.
Oh, absolutely. It's in a little ways an expansion of Manchester, but yes, a kind of a new neighborhood along the riverfront. If people are familiar with, on as you head away from town from the West End Bridge, heading west, and that's going to be an investment. And they were all other ones that many years ago, Millcraft and his dad, Jack right. Pyatt, and the Pyatt family, the investment that they made and continue to make in downtown Pittsburgh, and the Revel and Roost, and the investment they continue to make. There are a lot of folks in downtown who work very, very hard every day. We don't read about them. We read certainly other stories that happen, but there's a lot of folks working hard.
All right, coming up, speaking of which, after the big summit, that was the Energy and Innovation Summit at Carnegie Mellon University, you're going to introduce us to a very big player from EQT.
A big player who was a prominent person on this stage last week, and one of the leaders in this region, and one of the leaders who's going to be a big part of the AI revolution that's happening here in Western Pennsylvania.
CEO Toby Rice will join us next on the Big K Morning Show with Rich Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, encompassing 10 counties and the city of Pittsburgh, and special guest, Toby Rice. That sounds like a great athletic name.
Yeah, maybe he's one of the new Steelers. I'll have to ask him, but I'll tell you what, he was one of the big, big players last week. You know, when we had that AI Energy Summit here in Pittsburgh, it was such a huge, huge thing that Senator McCormick bringing not just the top levels of government, but CEOs and big players from around the country and around the world. And one of those players who was sitting there on the round table, as I was sitting there watching to see one of our local CEOs, who's such an influential player in this game, is Toby Rice, the CEO of EQT. And Toby, first of all, welcome. Thank you for coming on. And I wanted to hear from you your overall impression about being on that stage and leading some of that discussion about what we heard last week.
Yeah, thanks, Rich. Happy to be here. You know, it's hard to overstate the impact of the Pittsburgh Energy and Innovation Summit, the meeting that took place last week. It was such an amazing experience. And this is going to be incredible for the region, you know, starting with the importance of the people that showed up. We saw the President of the United States bringing almost half a dozen cabinet members to this region to talk about unleashing the AI revolution right here in Pittsburgh and in Pennsylvania. We saw Governor Shapiro show up. We saw Senator McCormick there, who's obviously leading and convening everybody. C-level executives from tech companies, from Amazon, have their CEO here, so a big presence from the tech communities. Over $3 trillion in capital providers from around the globe came here. And what made this event so impactful is what was actually produced. We announced over $93 billion of investments in Pennsylvania to fuel this AI revolution. And Rich, this is a huge number, but just to give you some perspective, you know, the state GDP of Pennsylvania is about $800 billion. So to see this amount of investment announced, this represents a double-digit percentile increase to the Pennsylvania economy. And the good news for Pittsburgh is a lot of these announcements are going to be happening in areas around Pittsburgh. The big Homer City redevelopment power plant will be the biggest power plant in the country. That's going to be happening a few miles east of Pittsburgh. We've got the shipping port Bruce Mansfield power plant that was announced. That's going to be happening just west of Pittsburgh. So these investments are coming to the state, and we're bringing them to Pittsburgh. It's going to create a tremendous amount of opportunities for this region. We could not be happier and more grateful for the leadership from Senator McCormick and also the support from Governor Josh Shapiro.
So, Toby, you know, we've seen some of the things that have happened in Pittsburgh over the the last decade or more in places like Lawrenceville and in Bakery Square and East Liberty and things that have gone. But you mentioned, you know, a couple of counties, Beaver County to the west of us and Indiana County to the east of us, that hadn't seen that kind of investment, that kind of job creation that's coming forward. So for the region itself, not just, again, those that live in the city and in Allegheny County, but throughout this region, there's going to be a lot of jobs and a lot of business improvement that's going to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of jobs to support these announcements. And, you know, Rich, I'll give you just some perspective here. You know, everybody is familiar with the Shell cracker facility. That was a huge catalyst, economic stimulus for this region. That was a $6 billion investment. For perspective, this Homer City redevelopment, this is a $15 billion investment in the power plant and all the associated electric infrastructure, building out their 3,200-acre data center campus. So the opportunity is so large, it's hard to get your head wrapped around, but that's why we're fighting so hard to make sure that Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh becomes the next large AI ecosystem to help us, you know, win this AI race, which isn't just, you know, for the good of the American economy. This is for the good of national security.
You know, I ran into some U.S. Steel executives Monday at an event with the Steelers alumni for visibility, and they were so, I can't even describe the excitement and passion they have for that sector too, where you've got $2.4 billion going in to the Mon Valley. And it seems to me, Toby, like everybody in the region is going to benefit from this push.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when talking about these projects specifically with AI, this is, you know, Pittsburgh has made a lot of things. We've produced a lot of coal. We've produced a lot of steel. But you can only consume so much of that in your state. This AI revolution is a real opportunity for this region to not only produce the energy, but also consume it here and create the full cycle economic impacts of these amazing opportunities that start with the natural resources and are supported by great leadership. And I think one of the things that I spent a lot of time talking about, why Pennsylvania, why Pittsburgh, what makes us special, not only is it the natural resources we have, the amazing workforce that has built the steel that's built this country, it's also the leaders that we have here in Pennsylvania, leaders like Senator McCormick, leaders like Josh Shapiro. You know, these guys are playing with a chip on their shoulder. They realize that Pennsylvania has not realized its full potential. And when you've got that, and when you've got that type of attitude, you're going to compete. And so far, just looking at this event, you know, we're winning right now, but there's a lot of work left to do to make sure that we fully capture the true potential of this opportunity that's hitting this region.
So, Toby, you mentioned, you know, the lot of work to do. And, you know, what are some of the challenges, and how do we build on the momentum that certainly came out of last week with a $92, $93 billion announcement?
Well, the biggest challenge, the biggest question that people get when we're talking about large industrial projects, people are always going to have questions about permitting and can we actually get this infrastructure built. Now, I'm very confident that we will be able to get the permits and be able to get these facilities built because it has to happen. It's such a positive impact for this region. The community just needs to be aware of this opportunity, and this is going to be something that is bigger than just one or two companies. This is going to affect the entire region. So the more we can do to put up the welcome sign that we do want Pittsburgh to become the AI ecosystem to bring in this tremendous amount of investment, that's going to help. So first thing is starts with recognition and just understanding what's happening. That's what we're doing this morning. This is a tremendous opportunity coming to Pittsburgh, but we need to understand how important this is and work to support the companies that are making this happen. And Rich, just to give you some perspective how EQT is playing in this, because we've got a lot of work to do as well. Our job in this whole thing is to make sure that the tech community has all the energy they need to meet their AI power demand needs. EQT is going to be has announced that we're going to be supplying over 1.5 billion cubic feet of natural gas. And just to put that into perspective, that's going to be enough natural gas to power New York City. But we're going to be doing these facilities right here in Pittsburgh. So these are big wins. People just need to know about it, get excited about it. And also, you know, let's start thinking about labor and making sure we have a fully built out, fully trained, excited workforce to take advantage of these massive opportunities that are coming.
President and Chief Executive Officer, EQT, the largest natural gas producer in the United States. Toby Rice, thanks for your passion and your time.
Thanks, Kobe. Keep up the good work. Congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
That's good stuff.
It really is.
Fitzgerald, Executive Director of Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, and it is a holiday in Pittsburgh. Players report to St. Vincent College in Latrobe, and the season begins.
It really is, and joining us now is one of those folks, one of the leaders of Westmoreland County, Westmoreland County Commissioner Ted Kopas, and I guess the eyes of the world, certainly Pittsburgh Nation, will be looking towards Latrobe. Commissioner, first of all, welcome. We want to hear about the economic impact, but do they have to declare a day where nobody goes to work in Westmoreland County today? How does that work?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Well, we haven't went that far yet officially. But I suspect there'll be a lot of vacation days people will be taking over the next few weeks.
Well, Commissioner, I got to ask you, because I have to record something for, is it Latrobe or Latrobe? How do people, I mean, I'm a native of Pittsburgh, and I'm not sure which one I should use.
You can pronounce it either way, just as long as you show up and spend your money and visit Latrobe, this training camp.
Fair enough.
Call it whatever you want.
All right, let's talk about what this means to the community. I know that the Rooney family have committed since the 60s to be there, and a lot of teams, I believe there are only five teams left in the NFL that still have this training camp access for fans experience.
Yeah, I mean, what a wonderful time of year for Steelers fans and for really Westmoreland County. excuse me. It's a wonderful tradition going back decades that the Steelers still report to a traditional training camp offsite. And really the benefits of it are huge for our area. You know, economic impact in terms of tens of millions of dollars. I've seen reports where restaurants in the nearby area already prepare to order 30 to 40% more food and beverage for their places. Hotels in the area have been booked since last training camp. This is really a big deal for us. It allows really Westmoreland County and the greater, the greater Latrobe area and the Laurel Highlands to really showcase itself too. In the hopes that those folks that are coming in to watch training camp, you know, decide to come back to do any number of activities that we offer in Westmoreland County. So really, it's a wonderful tradition that has benefited our local economy for decades.
It really does. And I think you bring a couple points, not just the spending that will obviously occur over the next couple of weeks, but it exposes people who might not ever visit or learn about Latrobe and the greater Latrobe area in Westmoreland County, what a wonderful, wonderful place it is to, you know, possibly move to. And I'm sure St. Vincent's as well, the college has probably benefited from some exposure and people who have enrolled there, because we know some of the challenges that some of our universities are having right now. So it really is a big deal. And I know you, having grown up there, you've been watching this over the years. How has this changed? As Larry was talking earlier, how training camp has changed since back in the days of the Terry Bradshaws and the Joe Greens. What have you seen over your time?
Well, excuse me, I got a little morning scratchy
throat. You're so choked up, right?
Opening day. I'm so excited for the opening of camp. Well, first off, on the topic of St. Vincent, certainly having the Steelers there annually is a really big deal for them. You know, it's good for campus life. It exposes people to that school, bringing potentially more young people and students into our area. So really, it's a great benefit for them as well. The folks at St. Vincent. To your point about how it's changed, gosh, it seems like it's bigger and better every year. The Steelers have certainly gone out of their way to annually enhance the fan experience, whether it's, you know, engaging better with the players or different games and contests and these sort of ancillary events that are going on around the practice. It just turns into a celebration of all things Steelers and, you know, all things football.
You know, Latrobe is like the birthplace for a lot of things. I think the banana split. You've got, of course, Arnold Palmer, Fred Rogers. What this does is showcase, and I know there'll be national shows that are going to do their reports from camp. It gives that whole region, the beautiful part of our state, really tremendous exposure.
Well, you know, there is some dispute about where the birthplace of football is. In my mind, there is no dispute. It is Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
It is where football took roots.
Pudge Heffelfinger. You know, that was the guy's name. He got
paid. Say that name again three times fast, Larry.
Pudge Heffelfinger got paid $500 in 1892 to play for the Allegheny Athletic Association. So it all... You're right. The birthplace of football, professional football, is right there.
Indeed. Indeed. You know, it's also worth noting, too, that, you know, fans as far away as Florida can come to training camp, landing at the Arnold Palmer Airport, which is quite literally across the street from St. Vincent College. So we talk about exponential benefits, showcasing our airport that in and of itself brings hundreds of millions of dollars in economic value every year, and is undergoing a massive renovation to modernize and make the passenger experience better. So really, I mean, we could go on and on about all of the assets we have here that are benefiting from the Steelers training camp.
Well, enjoy and appreciate the time this morning. Ted, this is going to be a lot of fun, maybe more interest going into this camp than in many years just because of all the changes the team has made. But have a great training camp.
Good luck, Commissioner. Enjoy the next couple of weeks. Thanks, Commissioner Kopas.
Thank you. You too. See you all.
White News Desk, the Steelers moving in today. Training camp, and Aaron Rodgers says wearing black and gold is special.
Just to be a guy that can put on the same uniform is pretty special for me, and that's all I need this year. It's just to go out there, have a chance to compete.
You know, he has some kind of relationship with Mike Tomlin. You could see even when they played against each other, they kind of had a mutual appreciation. So this is going to be fun, Rich. Have Aaron Rodgers and all those other names.
And actually, Aaron Rodgers, all those years playing for a Pittsburgh coach, Mike McCarthy
from
Green Bay, from Greenfield.
Of course.
There you go. A Black Sabbath lead singer and reality TV show star, Ozzy Osbourne, died on Tuesday, just weeks after his farewell concert.
But this was this like, oh my goodness, it was like so shocking. I still can't believe it that he did that performance and now he's gone.
Legendary concert promoter Rich Engler, who promoted 15 of his shows, knew him very well. Him and his wife, Cindy, I guess, exchanged Christmas cards for many years with Sharon and Ozzy, but he did get to say thank you and goodbye to his fans.
And the on and off Pirates were on last night.
The Pirates collected 14 hits. 8 of them were doubles, a team record for PNC Park. Brian Reynolds and Key Brian Hayes each with a double. But Spencer Horowitz, O'Neill Cruz, and Tommy Pham each had a pair of doubles.
Voice of the Pirates, Greg Brown, they play the Tigers today, and they could sweep one of the best teams in baseball after losing a sweep to the White Sox. You can't explain this team, Rich.
You could have never predicted that. You know, 2 weeks ago, are you going to get swept by the White Sox then sweep the Tigers?
Honestly, the word is bipolar, right?
I think Pope Leo XIV, who's a White Sox fan, must have put the Maloik on him.